lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 132, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Within thy temple's sacred courts, with loving and adoring thought, we contemplate thy grace, O God, and all thy deeds with mercy fraught. The first three stanzas of Psalter 132.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Hebrews chapter 11, the first 16 verses. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 16. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city in which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, who was not ashamed to be called the God of thy people, those whom thou hadst given, in whom thou hadst planted that true saving faith, which was to thy honor, which was to thy glory, which was to the comfort of the hearts of thy people. Lord, and we, in the day in which we live amongst so many, wherein that faith that is claimed, and then we cannot be so jealous of so many who speak of that faith. And it is such a confusing time for our dear children when they may hear a profession, and when the fruits of that life, they are not evident. But Lord, thou knowest also in the midst of thy own church how that it is, and what a poverty that there is in general. And that thou didst say, when thou comest, shalt thou find faith on the earth. Then it is in our day so small, it seems, and so little to be found. And Lord, then it is not in the abundance thereof, but it is in the truth of it, that we and our dear children stand in need of the planting of that true saving faith, and that we also may be accepted as sons and as daughters, and that we may not be forever and forever cast out into that eternal abyss where hope shall never come. Lord, it is a faith wherein there is an hope of things that are not seen. They are things that lie, that are laid away for thy church and in eternity. And they are things of which we can read in thy word. They are too great even to be spoken of. When the love of thee that will be experienced in eternity to thy church, when they shall be in the midst of that light, wherein there shall be no darkness, when the sun shall go no more down, and when sin shall no more enter. Lord, wilt thou give unto thy church what is necessary to look for that country that we have heard already in this afternoon, that was the looking of those who dwelt here below so many years ago by a true faith. Then their eye was not on the things that are of this country, but our eyes are so upon the earthly things. Lord, wilt thou remember then thy own people, that they may be an example, that they may be a light in the midst of us as a congregation, that there may be a people of whom it may be seen, and that this world holds no place in their heart, and that there may be a holy jealousy in the heart of many for that portion of which they shall never lose, that it shall never pass away, but which will go with them through that great and awful Jordan and into that never-ending eternity. O Lord, they are the mysteries that we can read of in thy word, and that it can be then also so closed in the life of thy own children, that they cannot see, that they cannot feel. But oh, then, in the midst of adversity and in the midst of trial, there to receive the exercise of that faith that thou hast planted in their heart. Lord, that it may be the experience of thy church here below, and that they may be given to receive a little comfort by the tokens of thy favor, and that they may observe also in their own heart and life, and that thou would open unto them more and more of the knowledge of self and of the knowledge of thee, and whom to know is life eternal. Lord, remember us when we go over this world without that essence of faith planted in our soul. Oh, then we have no hope, and then we are without God in this world. But wilt thou give us understanding hearts, that we might see in this afternoon a little of that which we miss, and that that holy jealousy may be born in our heart, and that we could not let thee go anymore, except that thou would bless us. Remember our boys and girls, and the children in the days of their youth, and all that they are surrounded with in this life. Oh, that thou may open their eyes to thy truth and give them that true knowledge that belongs to that saving faith in the days of their childhood. Then we, though we are so many years older, then we also will be able to learn from our children. And wilt thou make us together as little children, that we might enter in such a way into the kingdom of God. Remember each one of us in all the needs and the wants and the cares of this life. Wilt thou care for all that are afflicted and sick, that are not able to gather with us in this day? Wilt thou give a cry to thee? And wilt thou give health and strength in the body? Give instruction also in the weakness, in the frailty of the body, and the cause thereof. That is that awful enemy of sin. And that we might learn that true repentance, and that we may be brought in the dust of self-abasement before thee. Remember all those that are afflicted in ways that we do not know. The crosses that are carried through this life, that are hidden burdens. Lord, wilt thou thyself give in all these ways to experience something of thy nearness, of thy presence, of thy necessity, and that it may lead us to a true repentance. Wilt thou look upon our school and all those that are involved therein, the children, wilt thou bless the labors to their eternal and to their temporal welfare, also to those that are not able to go to our own school. And wilt thou give help and strength to parents and to teachers and to office bearers alike in the instruction of our children in that one thing that is needful. Wilt thou go before all the old aged, be with all that suffer from serious diseases, all that are in the prisons. Remember our government. Wilt thou give in the time to come, when there will also be elections, that men may be chosen, that may rule us in accordance with thy word, that thou may instruct from above in their accountability before thee, and that they may have a feeling realization moment by moment that they are not accountable to men, but that they are accountable unto the living God, who is the ruler over the heavens and the earth. Be with the judges also of our land. Wilt thou remember us in this afternoon hour? Do help us in the explanation of thy word according to the instruction of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord, wilt thou be on our right and on our left hand to give us what is necessary for this work in all our ways. And may thou give a little opening and liberty. May thou give love in our heart for thee above all, and for these our neighbors as ourself, and that a true concern and may cause us to bring thy word as a dying man unto dying people, that thy name may receive all the glory, and that our souls may receive the benefit. Wilt thou forgive and keep us from all iniquity for Jesus' sake? Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 386, stanzas 1 through 5. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call. On thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. We announce that the extra collection at the last song today is for the school, and also that there is a small error in the bulletin concerning the anniversary of Mr. and Mrs. John Van Sluis, which is not, the Lord willing, on the 17th, but on the 14th of November. Psalter 386, stanzas 1 through 5. congregation, we can read in God's Word how that the angel of the Lord was sent unto Mary. And this angel had for her such a blessed message that she would receive a child. And that was supposed to be a most blessed child, not an ordinary child, but that was to be the Son of the Highest. And for that reason, then all people would call her blessed. What was the answer of Mary to this angel? She answered the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Thus, she says, "I am not married. I have no husband." Humanly speaking, the means whereby she would receive such a child, they were absent. And thus, Mary cannot understand how that this great blessing can be received. But what is the answer of the Lord upon the riddles and the questions that lay in the heart of Mary? "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee." Thus, what stood in the way for Mary did not stand in the way for the Lord. And when in a human way the means are missing, the Lord will still give His blessing. And when the Lord will give His blessing, then He will give at the same time the means which are necessary for Mary to receive this blessing of the Lord. Last week, we have considered out of the Heidelberg Catechism that all men, as they are, all men are not saved by Christ as they perished in Adam, but only those who were engrafted into Him and receive all His benefits by a true faith. Thus, those that are engrafted into Christ, they shall also receive all those benefits, those blessings that belong unto Christ. But our question is, how shall they receive them? Seeing that people have no means to receive those blessings. How only can those blessings be received? That is, by faith. Why? They are not blessings, boys and girls, that you can receive with your hands. We receive much information through our eyes, and you hear also today with your ears. But the blessings that the Lord will give to His people, they are spiritual blessings. And a spiritual blessing that needs a spiritual means to be received into the heart, that is, through saving faith. Who has such a faith? Well, we heard something last week about the idea of Arminius and his followers, that we all have such a faith. because that belongs to common grace that is given to each and every one by the Holy Spirit, that you are able at least to help yourself and to take hold of that lifeline of the gospel that is extended, that is thrown out to you. But we have heard out of our catechism that it is not the truth, and that means faith to receive that true spiritual gift is not a common blessing that is given to all men, no, but that it is a very special blessing. And that it is a blessing which is given unto His church in order that the Lord may bestow upon them the blessings which belong to His only begotten Son. Thus, faith that is not a condition that man needs to fulfill before the Lord, but faith that is in itself also a gift that is flowing out of that same covenant of grace out of which all the gifts of God are given unto His children. Thus the Lord is bestowing, as He says in His word, He is taking from those that have not, and He is giving unto those that have. And that is why faith itself, that is in itself also a mark by which we may examine ourselves before God. That is, whether grace really lies within our own heart. That faith that is planted in regeneration, and therefore the possession of that faith, that is a mark of the gift and of the favor of God. What did the Lord Jesus say to Peter? Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And yet, how many don't go over this world thinking to have this faith and yet do not have it? That is, that they deceive themselves in this most important matter. By nature, we are willing to rest upon that which is too short for eternity. And the Lord Jesus Himself, He testifies that so many in that last day, they are going to have their eyes opened, that it is going to be a revelation which is too late, that I miss everything that I thought to have and that I thought did give me all the blessings for time and for eternity. And then in one moment, and that too late, when the door is shut, to realize that we stand on the outside forever. And therefore the Lord is commanding His own servants that they are taking forth the precious from the vile, that they are making a distinction between that which is true and that which is false, that every one of us may know exactly where we stand before the Lord. And we hope that the Lord will give to you a place upon your knees in your secret chamber, that we may receive the wisdom of the Lord and the grace of the Lord, that we may be able to do this also before you, as we are taught in our Heidelberg Catechism by our fathers, and which we wish to consider with you also in this afternoon, Question number 21. Question number 21 of our Heidelberg Catechism. What is true faith? Answer, true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. So far, our Lord's Day. Our theme is true saving faith in two thoughts. First, what it is, and afterwards, the manner of its operation. True saving faith. First, what it is, and second, the manner of its operation, as we can read here in this question and answer. So, first, what this is. And last week, then we made actually a little beginning when we began to say something about what it is not, which is giving clarity concerning that which it is. Thus, we said, then it is not just a mere historical faith, which so many in our day are, which for so many is acceptable, which is for so many enough, that we believe that word of God is true. And so we go with our self-wrought head knowledge, our historical faith, to that never-ending eternity, but that historical faith that brings forth no fruits in the life of a person. Thus, no, it is not when we simply, when we merely believe that that word of God is the truth. We said that it is not a miraculous faith. Then we know that there are those in the Word of God who performed miracles. Think of Judas, and yet he has gone lost. When we think of the power that the Lord has extended unto the devil himself, who will never experience one smallest part of the mercy and the grace of God, and yet is given to him power that he may perform miracles in this world, and even young people, to the deception of so many people that are in this world. Be careful. Then we said also that it is not a mere temporary faith, although this faith that comes the closest to that true saving faith. What do we mean by this? Not that it comes close in its essence, because in its essence, in what it really is, it is not close to saving faith at all. No, it is so different. It has a completely different foundation than that true saving faith. But we say that it comes closest because in its outward fruits, in what is being viewed by men, what is seen, what is heard, then it seems to come so often, so close, and is often accepted even afford that true saving faith itself. And it is because of such a deceptive heart that we are to be so careful in receiving for ourselves that comfort that does not belong to us. Oh, there is a comfort. There is a blessed rest that belongeth unto the children of God, a congregation that is a comfort and that is a rest that is so freely given unto that church from above. And when the Lord is speaking in the life of His children, oh, then that comfort that is received, which can never be taken away from that people. Thus, our instructors are speaking about a true saving faith. And what is this? True faith that is not only a certain knowledge. Thus, that means that true saving faith that is not without knowledge, because it says it is not only a certain knowledge. So what does that mean? Does that mean then that a true saving faith, then we begin with historical faith, that is the foundation, then we have a certain knowledge, but then it is something more on top of or added onto that historical faith? No, that is not that knowledge at all of that true saving faith. And our fathers have made a distinction, and they have spoken about three aspects of that true saving faith. And what are they? They are knowledge, assent, and trust. And now it is those three aspects of that saving faith that we must discern within ourselves. Many times, the word knowledge is used by us to speak about that knowledge which, boys and girls, you receive when you go to school, and your teacher teaches you, and you learn in your mind, and your parents, they are asking you what you have learned, yes, and you can take an examination on what you have learned. All that is good. We hope that you do your very, very best always. And then especially, then when you are in catechism class, or when you are in Bible class, when you are listening to your father or mother read the Bible at home, that especially that you are interested to gain that knowledge of that holy word of God. And now we say that that true saving faith, that is that one of those aspects that is knowledge. And yet that knowledge that is so different from all that you can learn in your mind. The Apostle Paul has himself instructed us in this. But congregation, he has not instructed us in this before that he has known and felt the difference, but only afterwards. How can it be that he would give us such instruction when beforehand he had never seen the difference between that knowledge that is of the intellect, even in the things of religion, and that knowledge which is given by God's Spirit by a true saving faith? Then it's necessary to be taught in that knowledge that we may experience and that we truly may know what that separation really is. And what did Paul say? He says afterwards, yes, oh, before, then I was instructed. Then I was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, and I was instructed in all the things that had to do with that law of God. Oh, then Paul had learned so much at the feet of this very knowledgeable instructor, Gamaliel. But later, then later Paul had to admit something. Then later Paul says, oh, what a difference between that knowledge that I had before and that knowledge which I have received by a true saving faith out of that hand of the Lord. And how did he receive that knowledge? Oh, he had studied that law, yes, from step to step. He had memorized it. The congregation, then he said, but when the law came, thus, that was not when he went to study the law, but when that law came to him. That is, when the Lord brought that law to him, when the Lord sanctified that law to his own heart, when he says that commandment came, then something happened. Then it was not only that I knew that law in my mind, no, but he says then sin revived. Sin revived when that law came. Thus there was so much that has gone through my heart when the law came to me, when the Lord spoke through his law, when the Lord said, thou art the man, then that sin revived and I died. That is serious. Then I died. Thus, Paul speaks about the effects. Something happened in his life when that knowledge of that law was given in his soul by a true faith. And then Paul is writing here in Hebrews 11 to the Hebrews. And he speaks about that true faith. And what does he say? He says that that faith that is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Thus, in faith, he says, there is knowledge. We know something. Because what does he speak about? Evidence. Evidence. And when we have evidence, then we have something tangible. Then we have something that we know that is very clear to us. So faith, in faith there is that knowledge. And that knowledge is evidence. Then it is not something uncertain, no, but that is so sure. That faith, he says, is the substance. Substance. Thus, it is not just a speaking out into the air, but it is something that has a material substance to it, that it has value, that it is a great treasure. Faith that is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. Now, if something that is hoped for, then that thing is in the future. Then I don't have it. No, then it lies still to be received. And yet, he says, I have the evidence of it. I have the substance of it. That I have the knowledge of it. So what is he speaking of? He is speaking of those things that are in the future that have become for him before that he has received them a reality. Thus, it becomes a reality in that life of true saving faith before that it is actually reality. What did Isaiah say, young people, when that great host of the Assyrians were surrounding that land of Judah and Hezekiah was trembling? Then Hezekiah has sent a word from the Lord by a true saving faith. And he said to Hezekiah that you do not have to be afraid, that you do not have to tremble, because that enemy shall not come into this city, and that enemy shall not shoot one arrow there. Oh, then before that reality had come to pass in his life, and while that enemy that was still surrounding that whole land of Judah, and when that king that trembled, and when there was such a small army against that great host of the Assyrians, oh, then by a true saving faith, then the prophet may see what is to come in the future, that not one arrow shall be shot within that city of the Lord. Then you can understand a little, even if it is with our mind, and that true faith that consists in knowledge, that we know it, and that knowledge that is very, very certain. Thus, within faith itself, there is no doubt. No, there is not one question. When we speak about the essence of that true saving faith, no, that does not mean that doubting will not be experienced alongside of that true saving faith. Because so often it is so in the life of God's true people. But that is the reason that there is a warfare here below. That is the reason that man is crying out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Thus knowledge as one of those three aspects of that true saving faith. There is a second one. And what is that? That is assent. What does that mean? That means to agree. To agree. That is also worked by the power of the Holy Spirit in that true saving faith. Is that then just like that agreement that is in that historical faith when I agree that everything that is written in that word of God that really is the truth? No. Once again, then that assent, that agreement that is standing on a completely different foundation. We read that it is called a setting to his seal that God is true. Thus, the Spirit that is convincing that soul of the truth of the gospel, that it is a faithful witness, that it is a witness that is worthy of all acceptation, then that soul that is acknowledging the divine credibility of that word of God? Congregation, by nature, we do not agree. We do not agree with what? We do not agree with the salvation of the Lord. We are enemies to that salvation of the Lord. And why are we such enemies? Because the way in which the Lord will save His church is to the humbling of men. And we have begun in paradise to lift ourselves up, and we refuse to humble ourselves before the Lord, to receive everything out of free and sovereign grace from above. That means I must come as a wretched and as a poor and as an unworthy sinner, and I am not willing to come there. And now we speak about the ascent of that true saving faith. And what is that? Oh, that is that blessed agreement. Oh, when the Lord is breaking a man, and when He is bringing that man in the dust, when the Lord is cutting off his legs, like He cut off the legs of a Mephibosheth, so that man, he has to be brought before the king, and then in all expectation that he would lose his whole life, that he would be cut off as he was the son, the grandson of the persecutor of the king, of the hater of the king. Oh, and in such a way, to receive the favor of that king. Oh, then that man is brought to agree to receive it with broken legs. Oh, think about Naaman the Syrian. That is so our picture. By nature, we will never bow. And unless we can wash in our own clean waters, and unless we can work out our salvation according to our own wisdom, we will never bow before the grace and the salvation of the Lord. But oh, that those blessed servants, we would say the servants who may be in the hand of the Lord, a little instrument to speak one soft word unto that king, so that everything in one moment turns around, and that king may come into that blessed agreement, when he may go down into that river of Jordan. Oh, then what a blessing that man may receive in the agreement with that way that the Lord himself had laid out for his cleansing. Oh, that blessed ascent, that blessed agreement, that is the work of God's Holy Spirit in the breaking of our hard and stony hearts. Thus, that true saving faith that is consisting in knowledge, it is consisting in ascent, and it is consisting in the last place in trust. Then our fathers speak. We read here about an assured confidence. That means then that soul that leans, or to lean heavily, that is to lay our whole weight upon something without fear. We see an example of this in our little children. Oh, when they are so very small, and then as fathers, then you can throw them up into the air, and then they are laughing. Oh, they have no fear because they so fully trust that farther he will catch them again, or the older that they become, the more fear and the more distrust that they have in their father in this way. But oh, to lean so completely in such a full trust, to lay everything in the hands of the Lord. Oh, that is what our fathers, they are speaking of when they speak about this assured confidence. Then David, though he has in his hand, boys and girls, he has but a sling and a stone, and that mighty giant Goliath, oh, then he is such a strong man. But oh, you hear the confidence, the assured confidence that is laying in the heart of David. Is that in himself? Is that in that sling and that stone? Is that in his great strength? He had it not. But what did he say? The Lord, he will give me the victory. And so he has laid everything, including his own life, so fully in the hand of the Lord. We see Abraham, he takes that promised child, his whole life that is bound up in that child. And Abraham, he is ready by a true saving faith to take a knife and to strike it through the heart of that child. Oh, believing that the Lord, he will fulfill in his own way what he had promised to him. Or our catechism that is talking about the essence of that true saving faith, and now that assured confidence that is belonging, that is one of the three aspects of that true saving faith. Does that belong only to those who have reached such a great stage in their faith? Does that belong only to those who have the great exercises of faith? No. But that assured confidence that belongs to faith itself in its essence. We give you an example of Ruth, because when Ruth came to that border, she did not speak about high things. But when she came to that border, there was one thing that was so plain. And what was it? That in the heart of that woman, there lay a true saving faith. And it was so simple, and it was so true, and it was so genuine. And later, Boaz himself, he came to speak about that faith, under whose wings, he says, thou art come to trust. And so Boaz himself, he says, that was the token of that true saving faith that lay already in the life and in the heart of that woman who had not yet been made into an Israelite by the marriage of Boaz. Let us sing. Psalter 152, 1 through 5. What time I am afraid, I put my trust in thee. In God I rest and praise. His word so rich and free. 1 through 5 of Psalter 152. what is true faith? True faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart. Then we hear three things. First, that is which the Holy Ghost works, thus the work of the Spirit. By the gospel, that is through His Word. And second, and third, in my heart, that is in a personal way. What do we read? When we read about Lydia, we read whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart, Lydia, the Lord opened the work of the Spirit, that she attended unto the things that were spoken by Paul, that is through His Word. And then not only in my heart, but that it also concerns me. We read that not only to others, but to me also. Remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Not only to others. How long, congregation, has it been only for others? How long, people of the Lord, has it been only for others? And why is it only for others? You say, because it's election. Because God has chosen them and God has chosen me. Oh, congregation, no. Don't go in the way of rebellion. What did Paul say? And what is the work of God? Then it is only for others. Because I am the chief. It is only for others because I have persecuted the church of God. May we ever come in the place of Paul. And then how long is it only for others? Because my sin that is as a mountain before me, that is standing as a wall between God and my soul. Oh, are there those that for that reason that can see that it is only for others? And then to be shown and to be given something of that true saving faith that our fathers are speaking of here. That is, when we are lost, and then to read, then to hear, no, then to see that He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Then it becomes not only for others, but also for me. Then Paul says that he was seen of me also as of one that was born out of due time. Then we acknowledge, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Not only for others, but also to me. Remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. When that goes open, congregation, by a true saving faith, then in one moment, that people, in expectation of hell, they receive heaven. In expectation of destruction and of being cast away forever and forever, in one moment, then they receive everything through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can fathom the blessings that belong unto that people? Do we say that people can always believe this? Do we say that there is no doubt? No, we say that doubt does not belong to the essence of that faith. But there is the being of faith, says Comrie, and the well-being of faith. And David, who may go forward with a sling and a stone against that mighty Goliath, will also one day flee out of Jerusalem as the king of Israel from his own son. And Abraham, who was ready to put a knife through his son, believing that God will fulfill his promise. He also cannot believe when he comes into that land of Abimelech. There is the reality. There is the reality of the life of that true church of God. Hezekiah rebelled in true faith against that king of Assyria. And what happened when that king came? And he stood before those gates. Then Hezekiah trembled. And then Hezekiah says, Sennacherib, he says, I have sinned. He says, I have done wrong. And he strips all the gold from off the temple of the Lord. And he gives that to Sennacherib so that Sennacherib will go away. And then he could not exercise that same faith as he had before. Oh, the reality. What does the Lord Jesus say to his people? Without me, ye can do nothing. Congregation, do we know something? Do we know the smallest part? Because we need not speak of high things, no. But do we know the smallest part? It need not be great faith, no. It needs to be true, saving faith. Oh, that faith that has evidences, it is so real. That is faith that makes that pilgrim flee. Oh, it is faith that brings Ruth out of that land of Moab. Through all the trial, and though she can never have a husband again, and though she can never have children again, yet she goes forward by a true saving faith. Then it was not so deep in the heart of Pliable. Then it was not so deep in the heart of an Orpah. Oh, that true saving faith that is bringing so low, with the publican in the temple not daring to lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smiting upon his breast, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And that man That was the man that may go down to his house justified. Oh, that temporary faith that does the opposite. It lifts up. It says, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. That true saving faith that has the knowledge of God and the knowledge of myself so that I tremble. Do you ever tremble? When you come before the Lord, boys and girls, do you fold your hands reverently? Do you close your eyes? What did that faithful Abraham say? He says, behold, I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Oh, the tender fear when he came into the presence of that Most High God that belongs unto that true saving faith. And that temporary faith, all that goes in with Uzzah in great boldness to enter into the sanctuary of God and to do what belonged not unto him. All that true saving faith that has love. All even when I may feel something that God is against me, then though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Oh, that temporary faith that has love for myself, that has love for self-honor. Oh, that true saving faith that is so honest, that says, search me, O God, and try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in that way everlasting. Oh, that temporary faith that is secretly, that we need to examine what is in our own heart. It is secretly shunning the examination of the Lord. Oh, the true saving faith that is coming congregation into poverty. What does it say? I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Oh, what does that temporary faith say? It says just the opposite. It says, neither have I at any time transgressed thy commandments. Oh, that true saving faith. Oh, that wants to hear it out of the mouth of the Lord. Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. That temporary faith. Oh, it is good enough when the minister says it to me. It is good enough when a respected child of God, they will say it to me. Oh, that true saving faith, that is faith that needs God to bring it into exercise. Oh, Lord, increase our faith. But that temporary faith, they have everything congregation at the push of a button. And they can bring it all forth from themselves. That true saving faith that is acquiescing in the just and the righteous judgment of the Lord. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. But what is that temporary faith doing? It is maintaining itself in its innocence. Then it says, what have I sinned? Oh, the true saving faith that needs a mediator between God and his soul. That temporary faith does not even know that there is an angry God and has never felt a separation and a desire to return into his communion again. Oh, the true saving faith that is bringing the people to seek a refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ as that guilty manslayer and as he is seeking refuge in that city of refuge. But that temporary faith that has never even experienced in their life a need for the Lord that through saving faith, that experiences something of the preciousness, of the necessity, of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ in all the revelation of Him, that He is altogether lovely, that He is the chiefest among 10,000, that temporary faith that is yes crying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But soon, very soon, and then they are crying, crucify him, crucify him. Oh, the true saving faith that is not speaking congregation of what it does not know. Jacob, he says, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. But oh, the temporary faith that is like that Johnny Eager speaker, and that he is speaking way beyond anything that he has ever experienced in his life, that true saving faith that may fall. Yes, it may fall. I do not know the man. But that temporary faith that is going to fall away, even as Judas, who was not kept by the Lord, congregation, do we know, not the great things, no, just the beginning, the truth of it. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou search us? And wilt thou prove us, wilt thou instruct us in that true saving faith? And Lord, when we do not have it, when we deceive ourselves, oh, wilt thou plant it in our hearts and give us to come as the most wretched, as the most guilty, as the most filthy and unworthy one to receive everything in thy only begotten Son, that our sin may be removed from us as far as the east is from the west, and that thou may receive for time and eternity all the honor and all the glory. Lord, we may acknowledge thee for all that thou hast given unto us in this day. Forgive all that was sinful, crown it with thy blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 298, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My steadfast heart, O God, will sound thy praise abroad with tuneful string. The dawn shall hear my song. Thy praise I will prolong, and where thy people throng, thanksgiving bring. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 298. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.